Between trying to figure out the right gift and the expected shipping delays this year, shopping for gifts during the holiday season can be stressful. But it doesn't have to be, though. And while Jason Perlow and I can't help with the shipping issues we're all sure to face this year, we can offer some gift recommendations. I'm Jason Cipriani, and that's exactly what we're going to do on this episode of Jason Squared. Happy holidays, Jason.
Happy holidays.
Oh, no. So have you started shopping yet?
Shopping? You mean like going out in public and going to the mall? No way. I am sitting on my ass in my living room. I'm snacking on air-dried cheese snacks, cheese balls. You know, do you like that cheese ball? The one that's like, you know, the processed, like, you know, cheddar cheese mixed up with the red wine with the walnuts.
That's like a no those. For me.
You don't like those? I really like those. That's like, this is the only time of year I like to eat those. Chicharrones.
Yeah, I'll eat those.
Oh, those are awesome, right? Yep. Especially the ones from Aldi. They're only like, you know, like a dollar a bag or something. Oh, and Bridge Mix. Yeah, I got the Bridge Mix. But binging on TV shows, that's what I'm doing right now. I am just sitting on my ass in my living room and just watching like all the shows I haven't been able to watch this year. That's what I'm doing.
All right, so what is a gift recommendation you have for our avid listeners who can't get enough of us?
So, you know, this year I am all about the great streaming and services content that we're getting right now. I'm going to have to start, though, with the Apple One Premier subscription, right? So this is a gift to yourself and your entire family, right? For $30 a month, you get access to all of Apple's services, right? That's music, that's News Plus, that's Arcade, that's Fitness Plus, that's Apple TV Plus and iCloud Plus with 2 terabytes of storage for 5 people. It's a great value. I mean, if you are an Apple user and you have not done this and you use like just 1 or 2 of those things, you have to upgrade. And if you have a couple members of your family, if you got kids or whatnot, you know, you have to do this. Why aren't you doing this, right? Now to pair with those services, you want an Apple TV 4K, right? Yep. And you want an iPhone. Yep. And you want an iPad.
Okay.
And you want an Apple Watch.
Just and do it all.
And you want an M1 Pro MacBook Pro, right? You know, Santa needs to get off his ass and deliver this year. Or is it Hanukkah Harry? I forget. It's usually Hanukkah Harry when I ask for that much stuff. But yeah, you want all that junk. I'm done. Okay, this show's over. Okay, great. Excellent.
Right. Just as a side note, the M1 Pro MacBook Pro, man, that's a tongue twister. That's why I got confused when I started to say it.
M1 Max MacBook Pro.
Yeah, Max. No, there is an M1 Pro. I've been using the M1 Pro MacBook Pro for about a week. Apple sent me a review unit. And,
oh, you lucky dog.
It's the 14-inch model. And you know what? The notch is practically invisible.
I told you, man, you wouldn't even notice it, man.
I've made a lot of fun of it and I still will make fun of it because it just is silly, but you'd barely notice it. The 14-inch display, fabulous. And it's fast as hell, man. I don't know what else to say other than that right now. I still have some more testing I need to do before I write anything up, but it's a fantastic but expensive gift. So for my first gift recommendation, I'm going to go to the opposite end, although this is still within the Apple family. And this is for Apple users, of course, and that is an AirTag. You know, $30 each, or you could get 4 for $100. Apple will engrave them. Actually, I don't think it's engraving. They laser etch something on them. And then you're able to place them, you know, with your keys in a backpack, luggage, on a bike, on an animal, even though Apple says don't use it to track your dog. I can see a very valid use case for tracking your dog with them. It's very inexpensive and it's perfect for someone who is an Apple product user, apparently like Perlow, who just listed every Apple item in the Apple store as a gift this year.
You should buy all of them.
But this is one of those gifts that you give someone and hopefully they forget all about it and never use it. But the one day that they do need it, they're very, very thankful that they had it.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Jason. What? So, like, you know, I was on vacation this week, right? So, you know, my wife and I both have like, you know, the AirTag is attached to our keys, which is in our bag or, you know, something like that. Right. So our main bag can be tracked if we lose it. Right. So there was one day where we went to, this restaurant slash, you know, delicatessen type place in New Orleans. It's called Cochon Butcher, which is a fantastic, you know, they make their own meats. They like smoke their own sausages and stuff. It's an amazing place. And so I was like on the counter and I was like picking up, you know, shrink wrap, you know, like sausages from the refrigerator case and stuff. And I'm putting on the counter to pay for it. And then my wife like distracts me with something. And this is like one of those places that like they don't take Apple Pay. They're like, okay. we gotta use a credit card. So my credit card is in one of those clips. You know, one of those things that those ultra thin wallet clip things where like you can stack the credit card, they snap in nice and tight, and you put
slim.
Yeah, I love those things, and I usually keep one in my bag. And the only time I ever take a credit card out or a piece of ID out is if someone asks me to show them one, or if they don't have Apple Pay, right? So this, all right, so I pull it out. I must have put that thing on the counter when I paid, and then I got distracted. And then all I know is the next day we have to get out of our hotel room, right? By 10 a.m. Even though our flight's at like 9 p.m., but we have to get out.
Yeah,
and we're checking out. We're packing up all our junk. I'm double checking that I have everything that I need. I'm like, where's my clip card? Where's my clip holder? It's not there.
Oh,
and
man.
This is like the sheer level in my life is in that thing. My IDs are in it. All the credit cards I own are in it. It's so I'm freaking out, utterly freaking out that my stuff isn't there. And I'm going through my Apple Card, you know, transaction list. Like, where could I possibly use credit cards? I'm like, oh, Cochon, but I didn't know for sure if it was there. So.
Sure.
It did end up having it. But what I ended up doing that afternoon to solve this problem permanently, I went out and bought a special little wallet case for my clip card that I can put my AirTag in so that I can track my wallet. But I don't know why the Apple Card, they can't just make that thing a built-in AirTag because that would be perfect. Right.
Yeah.
You know, because so, that's the only time I take out a credit card is when I need to take out a physical Apple card. You know,
sure.
And how many times have you left your credit? I've left my credit card in the bill holder at a restaurant, forget to take it back. Right. And then had to go back to the restaurant the next day. Like, oh, crap, I left it there. It's insane. Absolutely insane. But yeah, get AirTags, AirTag everything you own. That's the moral of the story. Or tag it all.
I got two things and I'll let you get back to what your next recommendation. One is Nomad Goods. They make great accessories for our Apple products, other products as well, but they focus mainly on Apple products. They have a wallet with an AirTag holder built into it. So you don't have this awkward bump in the middle of your wallet. The way it's designed, it kind of sits flat and it's really nice. So check that out. But also the Apple MagSafe wallet has Find My built into it. And it's not precise location like an AirTag. But let's say in your situation where you left it on the counter, when you remove the wallet from your phone, it records the last location it was detected on your phone. And you get an alert that says, hey, after a minute of your wallet not being attached to your phone, says, hey, your wallet's no longer attached. Here's where it was last seen. So that way you would have received an alert before you walked out of there that your wallet wasn't reattached to your phone. Or if you didn't notice the alert until 2 hours later, you would have known, I took my wallet and then that's where it's at. So there are some Find My options. You could find those one at nomadgoods.com and the other one at Apple.
The Apple's left behind feature is awesome. And whenever you leave something behind, you get the immediate notification to your iPhone and Apple Watch that you've left something behind all the time. It's fantastic. You get immediate notification. So it's fantastic. Awesome. So am I not supposed to recommend another Apple thing, Jason?
Is there anything Apple left for you to recommend?
I mean, are we sure? Because, you know, being paid secretly by the company to violate my journalistic principles, I can easily recommend another Apple thing.
Whoa.
Okay. So, you know, Google products and I have not been getting along lately, but I really did like one of their products this year.
What's that?
The Chromecast with Google TV. It is the best budget streaming device, in my opinion. I mean, for $50, you can't. Did it come out in 2020 or 2021? Whatever.
20.
It's still the best freaking streaming device you can buy for the money. I mean, for $50, you cannot beat it. It works with everything.
So Chromecast is good. I agree with you. For anyone in the Google ecosystem, it's great. Amazon's Fire TV Stick 4K Max, which is a ridiculous name, is a good option for Amazon users as well. And I think it's a little bit cheaper than the $50 for Chromecast. But both of those, Chromecast, you and I both liked it. I still like it. But that Fire TV Stick 4K Max is a good one as well.
Yep.
Here's a fun one. And this is for adults as well as teens and tweens. And it's a Prusa Mini Plus 3D printer. I've had a few different 3D printers, and this is by far the best 3D printer I've ever owned. You can get them. They are shipping in 2 to 3 weeks right now. You can buy them for $399, so they're not super expensive. You can get a filament sensor added onto it, so the printer will actually stop printing if it runs out of filament mid-print, which I have had happen to me since getting my own Mini Plus, and that's an extra $20. So you're looking anywhere from $399 to $419, depending on your options.
Yep.
They come partially built if you pay that much for it, and all you have to do is put the stand on and you're pretty much ready to go. However, if you want to buy it as a kit where it comes with nothing but pieces and you put it together and it's probably a 10 to 12 hour project, it drops the price down to $349. But here's the kicker for that. The lead time is 8 to 10 weeks. And so when I ordered mine last year, it was the beginning of this year. I ordered it in January of this year. I had the 8 to 10 week lead time, and I thought, I'm going to save $50 and just put it together myself, not realizing that I could get it in a week or two if I paid the $50 extra. So I built mine. It was a fun project. I don't think I would ever do it again. just order it already built. We print so many random things with it. Cookie cutters for the holidays. You'd have something that looks just like Santa. Earrings are great Christmas gifts or gifts any time of the year. And they look great. The quality on this printer, literally, I put it together and I hit print and it works. It's not like some of the other 3D printers I've had where I am constantly messing with it to get it to print or get the printed here to the print bed. It's worked for me. So I would recommend that for sure.
Cool. So, you know, I am not much of a maker type, right? But I think every creative person needs a good espresso drink, right? Because, you got to get those juices flowing, right? So I'm going to recommend the Breville Barista Express espresso machine, okay? Which can make near professional quality cafe drinks right in your own home. Now, recently, I was actually asked by another publication to look at 20 different espresso machines in the between the $100 and $1,700 price point. And this particular machine came kind of like right in the middle. It's about $700. Breville does make more expensive machines than this and less expensive machines than this, but the combination of it having its built-in grinder with 30 levels of fineness with the automatic dosing control and the coffee machine and the, you know, I would say really good milk frother will allow you to make those really solid, really cool lattes. I would say near professional quality lattes at that $700 price point, because you would have to pay like $200 for a decent grinder anyway, between $200 and $250, plus the machine part of it. So that's actually a pretty good price point where it's at. Breville has, you know, I would say if there's an Apple of consumer devices for the kitchen, that's probably Breville. You know, in terms of their ability to, you know, make nice industrial designs with good technology in it. I think it's a great little consumer machine. And, I strongly recommend it. If you're looking for a cappuccino espresso machine this year, if you're looking to save some money on, you know, going out. I mean, it gets expensive if you go to Starbucks in these places. It's like $4.50, $5, $6 a drink. And after, I mean, you're going to get to that $700 pretty quickly. Over the course of the year.
When I go to Starbucks, I can't just buy a drink for me. I got to buy one for my wife and my kids. So it ends up being a $25 to $30 trip every single time. And it's funny, just so our listeners know, you and I didn't talk about our recommendations or our picks before the show. So I'm hearing Perlo's picks for the first time right now. On Friday, a group of my friends recommended this exact espresso machine to me, and I was very, very close. I think it was like $655 on sale on Amazon or something like that. I was very close to buying it, and instead I bought a Z Fold 3.
There you go.
So
because you need another cell phone, right? I mean, like, right.
Yeah. I don't have enough. So so keeping up on the theme of cool food gadget recommendations, and I know you have a couple more, or I assume you do, I'm going to recommend the Uni Coda 16. And this is a pizza oven. It's a propane powered. You can get a conversion kit to convert it to natural gas. It's $599 right now. That's $100 more than it was a year ago, actually about 18 months ago, 16 months ago when I purchased it. So the price has gone up. I'm sure the supply chain issues have had a lot to do with that, but it's a 16 inch pizza oven. So
that's a good size.
You can make pizzas up to 16 inches in this thing. It'll get up to 1,000 degrees. I've measured it with the thermal, you know, one of the heat guns, and it hits its limit of 1,000 degrees pretty fast. It'll cook a pizza, homemade dough, about 90 seconds, and it's really, really easy to burn your pizza. And so it takes a little bit of learning, but look, one of the best things I bought as far as cooking goes has been my Blackstone griddle and this pizza oven. And we use it to fire roast, you know, asparagus or veggies. We've cooked steak in there. We've cooked roast in there, or pork in there. You know, we've cooked a whole bunch of stuff. It's a sweet little gadget. Of course, you have to use it outside. But man, if you enjoy making pizza, or you want to start steak, getting into making pizza, I mean, we bought the little, we bought the skillet that they sell for it as well. And it sears the steaks. I mean, maybe 2 or 3 minutes, and you get a nice char on your steak.
Do you sous vide it before you do that? Or do you?
We've done both. If the steaks are really thin, we don't. You know, if they're thicker, like T-bones or whatever, we'll sous vide them, and then we'll just mark them, score them in the Coda. But we've done both.
I need to try that, because I haven't cooked anything other than a pizza in mine yet. The Coda is some very serious kit. I'm actually also looking at the Karu, which is, I think, is the upper end unit, which looks phenomenal, but it's more expensive.
Yeah, that one uses pellets, and from what I've read, it's very, very temperamental, and you have to babysit it to get the temperature right. And I like something that's easy, plug and play. I hook up propane.
Yep.
Turn it on and away it goes.
I agree with you. I use the Rockbox, which is almost it's a very similar price point. It's smaller, and I see a lot of vendors using it in the field. You know, they'll set up like two or three of those at like a farmer's market or something because of its portability. These little pizza ovens are fantastic. They've totally changed my entertainment game. I've had people over and stuff, and I'll make like 15, 20 of these damn things. And you're right. I mean, you have to rotate that pizza, you know, like every 15 seconds when you have it up to the 800 degree plus point. But the quality, the crust that you get, the crispiness and the crust, the pliability, you can't duplicate that easily, by going out to a restaurant. But speaking of ovens, I have to hand it over to the Anova Precision Oven, which I did review this year, for $600 will allow you to produce 4-star restaurant quality steam injected convection cooked proteins and baked goods. Now, I've used this to make unbelievable stuff in the last 6 months or so, and it has a huge community of users behind it. You can sous vide without using a bath, just like a rational, a $15,000 rational combi oven that you would see at a 4-star restaurant, but a miniature, right? So if you got you have an entire steak primal, you have a roast, you got 4 loaves of bread, you got a cake, you got big pieces of seafood and fish, it's going to cook it perfectly. Because of the precision computer control and internal temperature monitoring. The thing is totally app programmed. So there's those community users, they've pre-programmed the stages and all the way that it cooks and it heats via an app, and it's controlled via Wi-Fi. So it's impossible to overcook using this because of the way that it works. It's so temperature stabilized and monitored by this computer that you will hit the exact internal temperature of the meat you're trying to cook. And it'll stop it at that point. So if you need to hit, let's say 126 degrees internal temperature on the steak to hit medium rare, it'll stop it right at that point. And that which point you do the sear and then you're done. Or big piece of fish or turkey for Thanksgiving big chicken. It's insane. It's such a cool device though. I mean, I gotta say, it's totally changed my game completely.
Yeah. I have an Anova Precision sous vide, but I've looked at this oven countless times and thought it can't be that good. Like, it just doesn't make sense to me. And maybe there's a disconnect there when I look at the website and try to figure out how it works. But I mean, that's a pretty strong recommendation from you.
Yeah, it's cool. I still use the stick for very long cooks. Like if you're talking, you know, 10, 12, 14 hour, like type of,
right.
Like that kind of a thing. But if you're doing like an hour, 2 hour type of, you know, thing, right. Or 30 minutes or 40 minutes where you want to hit precision level on a different proteins for dinner. It's way more convenient to just put something on a tray and hit the button than to have to vac seal it and go through the whole sous vide procedure and all that kind of stuff. So it's for someone who wants to do more complex meals rather than just one big protein necessarily. So it, you can and baking is unbelievable with it. I mean,
I'm going to put it on my list for Santa to bring me then, I guess.
Yeah.
All right. So after the holidays, we all know this. Local gyms are full of people, and I guarantee they'll be full now. They're trying to get back into shape. But here's always one problem I ran into. Getting into shape and drinking beer do not go together.
But no.
One thing I've discovered in the last 6 weeks, month and a half or so, is Athletic Brewing's non-alcoholic beer. This I always looked at non-alcoholic beer as like being water, right? Like no flavor.
Yeah, none.
But these beers, and I've been drinking them for the last month or so, and they have IPAs, they have blondes, they have a dark, which they consider their stout. I cannot tell the difference between that and real beer at all. They have full body, the same texture, same mouthfeel, the same flavor profiles as what you would get from like an IPA or a hazy IPA. Here's the coolest part though, because they're non-alcoholic, you can order them directly on Amazon and they have, and you can order them from Athletic Brewing's website as well. And they have like a membership thing where you get a discount and they do
that's
limited
really
releases.
Cool. I mean, coming from you, that's a hell of a recommendation. I mean, I know a lot of people that, you know, because of whatever issues, they can no longer have alcohol, but they actually do like the, for example, one is they have to drink, they would like to have a drink occasionally, but also I think for cooking culinary purposes, this might be a cool idea also for those people.
Yeah. And the best part is, right, like you drink a double IPA and you're looking at 250 to 300 calories per 16 ounces is what it comes out to because all the sugar in there and, you know, how it all works out. So I think the most calories in any of their beers is 90. And that's for one of the IPAs.
That's not bad at all.
No. And for one of the stouts or the dark. So, I mean, and there's another, it's more local here in Colorado, so that's why I'm not mentioning it. There's another non-alcoholic brewery that all of their beers have zero calories. So like definitely if you're on the fence and you still want to drink beer, at least have the flavor of beer, which is something I truly, truly enjoy. Obviously, if I've been spending a month drinking non-alcoholic beer, the Athletic Brewing's non-alcoholic beer is a strong recommendation for me.
Very cool. Very cool. Yeah, that's awesome. I'm going to have to check that out. I drink beer. You know, I would not. I like to go to the local breweries and pick up some interesting stuff. We have a couple of cool ones in South Florida that I like to visit and pick up their stuff. But I'm not like a home brewer kind of a person like you are. You know, I just rather just buy it. Who knows? Maybe that'll be my next project. I have a nice home bar that I built. I spent a lot of resources and time on collecting my alcohols and equipment. I like a good cocktail. Okay. As I'm sure you saw in New Orleans when I went to all the bars just to see how everyone did one specific cocktail that they specialize in called the Sazerac. But I love a good cocktail. If you're going to have start with a home bar, and I have to work on a bar list for Z that shortly. But one of the things that's going to appear on that bar list is the Elevated Craft Cocktail Shaker, which is made out of stainless steel and it's insulated. Now, the thing is, you have to have a good cocktail shaker as part of a bar set. Now, typically, traditionally, people have used what they call the Boston Shaker, which is this two-part sort of, you know, a smaller piece and a bigger piece. They both go to, you know, they form together and, you know, you put the ice in it and then the booze and the other ingredients, and you shake it up. Now, what ends up happening is when you shake that up with all that ice in it, it gets very cold and, you know, it becomes hard to handle. Like you got to get a drink like freezing cold for it to taste good. Right. And for it to get the right consistency. But what also happens is you get condensation on that shaker when you're shaking it and it gets water all over the counter and it's gross. And that's no fun. So the Elevated Craft Cocktail Shaker is insulated. It's made out of stainless steel, so you can shake that thing to the end of time, and your hands will not get cold, even though the inside of that will get freezing cold, right?
That's crazy.
So if you got shots that you want to get really cold for a margarita or for, you know, tequilas or vodka shots, whatever you want to do, it gets super cold, and it does not sweat that condensation and then get that water all over your countertop and your hands and stuff. So it is a great, it's great for making lots of drinks. You can hold up to like 4 cocktails in it at a time. It's got a built-in measuring cup with levelers with at different, you know, gradation levels. So if you're at like a quarter ounce, an ounce and all that, you can see the levels on the inside. The top basically that pulls off, it is the integrated measuring cup. And on the top of that cup is a strainer. So like you take the cap off and you can strain directly into the glass from it. So you don't need a separate strainer piece of equipment to use if you don't want to. So you put your stuff in there with the ice, you shake it up, you pull the cap off, strain into the glasses, done. Right.
Nice.
And no mess and no getting your hand out. And it's for $70. It's a totally worthwhile addition to your home bar. It'll last forever. It's stainless steel. It's dishwasher safe. Yeah.
We don't make cocktails all that often. If we do, it's a Moscow Mule, and that's our limit of cocktail making around here.
Yeah.
Which, you know, I look, a good Moscow Mule, man, I'll drink those all day long. And
I agree,
you know, when I was looking up Athletic Brewing's Amazon link for this, you know, and getting some details on what they sold on Amazon, there's like a mixer case that comes with different IPAs, a Mexican Light Copper, which I think is their terminology for a light lager. I don't know what a light copper is. And then their dark beer, that's the stout. There was also non-alcoholic whiskey brands and hard liquor brands as well, but I haven't tried any of those, so I didn't want to recommend them. But apparently this is like a whole thing where these same breweries that make real liquor or you know, distilleries that make liquor and breweries that make beer are now going down the non-alcoholic route because so many people are trying to get in shape and you know, live a healthier lifestyle. And I think a lot of us went over board during the height of the pandemic and lockdowns and whatnot with alcohol. So I can, it makes sense to me. So maybe I'll try one of their non-alcoholic vodkas with this Elevated Craft cocktail shaker and let you know what I think, Carlo.
Really?
All right. So are you ready for a curveball?
Sure. Absolutely. Right,
this is a curveball for you and probably for our listeners, at least listeners who have listened to our Facebook or Meta shows. This is the last item on the list for today, and that is an Oculus Quest 2. I mean, a Meta Quest 2. It's the headset, VR headset, from the company that shall not be named. Actually, I've already named them, Facebook.
From the number one tech turkey of the year on our list, Jason. Are you sure about this?
The perennial tech turkey. Yes, I am. I got one from Meta about a week ago. We had a good conversation about it. And look, as someone who hasn't used a lot of VR tech, I don't have a good baseline except for the Gear VR from 4 or 5 years ago when Samsung, right around the time the Note 7 started blowing up, and I think Samsung realized having phones that catch fire on people's faces is probably not a good idea. But there is some really cool, impressive technology into this headset. For example, when you put it on and you start playing in a new room, it has you set a safe zone on your floor. And so it puts a grid over your floor. You could see it kind of like an AR layout, and you draw lines, a big circle or whatever it is on your floor. And then it knows if you start walking around and you get to the edge, you start seeing the real environment again. So you don't run into anything. And it does the same thing on the couch. That's just one little thing that I was like, just
like that coffee table that I always hit at like 2 o'clock in the morning when I'm going to get my water. And then like my shins and my, are like my, like go knock right in and bam.
Exactly. If you had a Meta Quest 2 on your head when you were sleeping,
right,
that would not happen.
Now I know why I need a Meta Quest 2, Jason.
So, no, but like that's just one example. And it was something that took me by surprise. And the best part is it remembers the rooms and the location. So I can use it here in my office, which is detached from my house. And then I could go inside and use it in the living room where we've been playing, sitting on the couch and playing. And it still has that area on the couch where I was sitting playing, you know, various games outlined. And it remembers that as well. It's really cool. The games have been fun. I've talked about how I don't usually use VR because of motion sickness. And now I haven't got all out motion sickness from this headset yet, but I have had some like vertigo. I don't know if that's the right way to put it because I'm not totally dizzy, but it's like a half an hour, maybe an hour of like trying to get used to being back in the real world after I take it off. I've read quite a bit that does go away after time. You just have to kind of ease into it. And eventually your mind's able to turn that switch on and off of being in and out of VR. But if any of our listeners have any suggestions or advice on how to get rid of that faster, I'd greatly appreciate it. Cause I would love to spend, you know, a good amount of time in it at once and not have to feel like I am going to fall over as soon as I take it off. But yeah, so $299. Actually, they're on sale everywhere right now for MetaQuest 2. They're not on sale, I should say. You buy one from like Best Buy or Amazon, they give you a $50 gift card to use at that specific retailer. So you could go and turn around and buy accessories or whatever.
Now, this thing is it's self-contained, right? I don't need another piece of computing equipment to use this, right?
It's completely detached. You can wear it wherever. Battery life has been solid for me so far. I don't have an exact number of hours, but it's been good enough. The remotes that it comes with, the entire thing is really cool tech. And you can connect it to a PC if you want. You can buy an optional cable. I think it's $60 or $70 for the cable to connect it to your gaming PC and use it that way. But it is not required at all. And there is a beta. I don't remember the name of the software. But you can use it wirelessly as well with the gaming PC without that cable.
How big is like the software, you know, ecosystem for this in terms of
huge.
Games?
But
is
it? So one thing, yeah, and one thing that caught me by surprise is how expensive all the software is. We're not talking like $5 or $6. Games are like $40-$50 a pop.
Okay, now we're talking console level expensive. You know,
right?
That's
yeah,
where
like there's a Beat Saber, which is one. It's kind of like Guitar Hero, but you have lightsabers and you play notes. And I think it was like $30 for that, something like that. Software is going to be the biggest investment outside of the hardware, which you know you'll quickly buy more than $300 worth of software.
Oh my God!
If you're buying all the Yeah. But there's a lot there. There's a lot of free streaming services. Netflix is on there. YouTube is on there. Sure. They have like a TV programming app that you can watch various shows on.
What's it like watching content though? Like what's it like watching a movie with that?
I haven't done it yet, so I don't know. You sit in a movie theater. I did see that. You sit in like a movie theater, and I remember that from Gear VR because Oculus did Gear VR for a little bit, and it's the same kind of setup. So it's interesting. I don't know. I'm going to keep messing with it and figure out if the metaverse is a thing I want to live in. But yeah, it's on my list.
Well, Jason, you know, as you were saying, you know, earlier, if you get sick with COVID or something, if you get like shoved inside your little room there, you know, for 2 weeks, you can live in the metaverse and come out when you're feeling better.
Exactly. I'll just talk to my family through my VR headset.
There you go. Exactly.
All right, Perlo, any last holiday gift recommendations? Any parting advice?
Yeah, give yourself like the gift of like mental health this year. Actually, I noticed that Calm had like the their sale this year for lifetime membership, and I spent like $160 or something like that. So it was like a 60% off lifetime. So I'd upgrade to lifetime on Calm, which is, by the way, the greatest meditation and relaxation software package you can possibly get. I use it primarily for the sleep stories, but I mean, I gotta say, just to take that 5 minutes out of your day to listen to some calming music and guidance from somebody, and also the sleep stories at night, which are phenomenal. I think is worth the money. You want to take care of yourself, regardless of what software you use or what tools you use to improve your mental health and your outlook on life. This holiday season and next year, do that. Give that as the gift to yourself. Is the time out and the time off you need to do to take care of yourself.
Yeah, I was going to say something cheesy like start ordering now or shop early, but I think I'm going to echo what you said. Treat yourself, give yourself a break, do something for yourself, do something nice for yourself, and you know, take care of you. If you're not doing that, then you're not going to be able to take care of anyone else. I think that's solid advice, Perlo.
Yep. Well, happy holidays, Jason, and I hope you have a great new year. If I don't talk to you next, well, I'm sure I will. But to everyone, if you don't listen to us for the rest of the year, happy holidays, happy new year, and we'll see you in 2022.
Absolutely. I'm Jason Cipriani.
And I'm Jason Perler.
And this is Jason Squared. Thanks for listening to our show. We truly appreciate it. Make sure to check out more of our work at ZDNet.com.